This is Bible Basics, Study 4, God and Death. 1. The Nature of Man. The majority of people seem to spend little time thinking about death or about their own nature. Such lack of self-examination leads to a lack of self-knowledge, and therefore people drift along through life, making their decisions according to the dictates of their own natural desires. There is a refusal, albeit heavily masked, to take on board the fact that life is so short that all too soon the finality of death will be upon us. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. We will surely die and become like water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up. Like grass, which grows up, in the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers. And those passages are from James chapter 4 verse 13, 2 Samuel chapter 14 verse 14, Psalm 90 verses 5 and 6. Moses, a truly thoughtful man, recognized this and pleaded to God, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." That's from Psalm 90 verse 12. Therefore, in view of life's brevity, we should make our acquisition of true wisdom a number one priority. Human response to the finality of death is varied. Some cultures have tried to make death and funerals part of life to lessen the sense of loss and finality. The majority of those bearing the name Christian have concluded that man has an immortal soul, or some element of immortality within him, which survives death, going on to some place of reward or punishment afterwards. Death being the most fundamental problem and a tragedy of human experience, it is to be expected that the human mind has been much exercised to lessen its mental impact. Therefore, a whole range of false theories have arisen concerning death and the very nature of man. As always, these must be tested against the Bible in order to find the real truth about this vital topic. It should be remembered that the very first lie recorded in the Bible is that of the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Contrary to God's plain statement that man would surely die if he sinned, that's in Genesis chapter 2 verse 17, the serpent asserted, "You will not surely die," that's in Genesis chapter 3 verse 4. This attempt to negate the finality and totality of death has become a characteristic of all false religions. It is evident that in this area especially, one false doctrine leads to another, and another, and another. Conversely, one piece of truth leads to another, as shown by 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 13 to 17. Here, Paul jumps from one truth to another, and when you read the verses, you'll notice a repetition of the word if and if and if. To understand our true nature, we need to consider what the Bible says about the creation of man. The record is in plain language, which, if taken literally, leaves us in no doubt about exactly what we are by nature. And listen to digression 18 concerning the literality of Genesis. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Out of it, that is the ground, you, that is Adam, were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. That's Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and chapter 3, verse 19. There is absolutely no hint here that man has any inherent immortality. There is no part of him that will live on after death. There is a marked biblical emphasis on the fact that man is fundamentally composed of mere dust. We are the clay, Isaiah says in chapter 64 verse 8. Man is of the earth, made of dust, That's from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 47. Man's foundation is in the dust. That's from Job chapter 4, verse 19. And man would return to dust. That's from Job 34, 14 and 15. Abraham admitted that he was but dust and ashes, and we find that in Genesis chapter 18, verse 27. Immediately after disobeying God's command in Eden, God drove out the man, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. That's in Genesis chapter 3, verses 24 and 22. If man had an immortal element within him naturally, this would have been unnecessary. Conditional immortality. The constantly repeated message of the gospel is that man can find a way to gain eternal life and immortality through the work of Christ. This is the only type of immortality that the Bible speaks about, and it follows that the idea of an eternity of conscious suffering for wrongdoing is without any biblical support. The only way to gain immortality is through obedience to God's commands, and those who are so obedient will spend immortality in a state of perfection, the reward for righteousness. The following passages should be proof enough that this immortality is conditional and not something that we naturally possess. For instance, Christ has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10, 1 John 1 verse 2. He is the author or cause of eternal salvation. That's in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10 and chapter 5 verse 9 in the Revised Version margin. Again, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you, that is, inherent in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day to give him this eternal life. That's in John chapter 6, verses 53 and 54. Christ's reasoning throughout John chapter 6 is that he is the bread of life, and that only through correct response to him can there be any hope of immortality. And you'll find that in John chapter 6, verses 47, 50, 51, 57, and 58. Again, God has given us, that is the believers, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. That's from 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. There can be no hope of immortality for those not in Christ. Only through Christ has immortality been made possible. He is the Prince of eternal life. That's from Acts chapter 3, verse 15. The author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. That's from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. Immortality for men was therefore originated through the work of Christ. Another point, the true believer seeks for immortality and will be rewarded for this by the gift of eternal life, something he does not naturally possess. We'll find that in Romans chapter 2, verse 7, and chapter 6, verse 23. Also in John chapter 10, verse 28. Our mortal body must put on immortality at the return of Christ. That's from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53. Thus, immortality is something promised and not now possessed. That one we can find in 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. Again, if it should be that Christ did not arise from the dead, then those who have died in him would perish. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 18. It follows, therefore, that they did not have immortal souls that went to reward in heaven on death. Finally, God alone has inherent immortality, and that is stated plainly in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15.